You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our third and final of three podcasts on chronic spontaneous urticaria hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Chronic Spontaneous Urticaria, the importance of prompt diagnosis and evidence-based management with targeted biologic therapies, a case study. This series is designed to meet the educational needs of U.S.-based dermatologists who diagnose, treat, and/or manage patients with chronic spontaneous urticaria. My name is Stephanie, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking to a patient, Barbara Bergston, who has kindly agreed to share her experience of living with chronic spontaneous urticaria. Also joining us today is Dr. David Lang, who's been treating Ms. Bergston and will be talking to us about her diagnosis, treatment, and management journey. Dr. Lang is Professor of Medicine, Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine, Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology, Cleveland Clinic, Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Lang, Ms. Bergston, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Stephanie. Great to be here with you.
Thank you for having me. Please call me Barbara.
All right, let's start with you, Barbara. Can you tell us about the first time you experienced symptoms of urticaria, and how did you deal with them?
The first time I got them, actually, it was pretty memorable. It was April 15th, 2021, and it was exactly 2 weeks after my second COVID vaccine. So I was thinking, I'm going out to the world. I can be part of the world now. I've had both my vaccines. And I broke out in hives. And they were full body hives. So they weren't just on my arms or my legs. They were everywhere.
That sounds terrible. You must have had to make significant changes to get out and back to your life and adjust with these occurrences.
Well, it was really scary. I immediately called my primary care doctor, and they said, just wait a couple of days, take some allergy medicine, and maybe they'll go away. They didn't. I ended up going to the ER. At that time of the world, the ER wasn't thrilled just to have a patient with hives there. So they were like, just keep taking some, allergy medicine. They put me on some prednisone that helped a little bit. They came back right away. And then thankfully, my primary care doctor introduced me to Dr. Lang. And he started walking me through this journey. One of the things that was most disturbing was my primary care physician told me that the good news is that hives usually don't last more than 5 years. I was completely despondent by that.
That is understandable. So at that point, you began to see Dr. Lang?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And Dr. Lang, can you tell us when you first met Barbara, how did you go about diagnosing her condition?
Yes, as I recall, Barbara came in to see me in late May 2021. And we have, for the diagnosis of chronic urticaria, we have the history, the physical exam, and laboratory tests. And of those three, if I had a dollar to spend, probably 90 cents would be in the history. Frequently patients come to us, as Barbara did when she first saw me, and she was hive-free. However, by the history, we explore the nature of the skin lesions in terms of the sensation that people experience. Typically with hives, it's a sensation of itching primarily, the appearance of the lesions. And, I went through this with Barbara, as I do with every patient who comes in with chronic urticaria or acute urticaria, which is less than 6 weeks duration. Chronic urticaria spanning more than 6 weeks. And Barbara was right on the borderline when she came in to see me, but I presumed that she had chronic urticaria. So we want to know what the sensation of the lesions has been, what the appearance of the lesion is in terms of how their size, their shape, how long they last. Barbara's history was typical in that in chronic spontaneous urticaria, the lesions last less than 24 hours. And that's the history I obtained from her when we first met. And we also want to know whether there's a residual after the lesions resolve, a residual bruise, and a longer duration, that is more than 24 hours, would suggest the possible presence of urticarial vasculitis. And we also explore other history, including whether there are provoking factors for the chronic urticaria, which may suggest that she has a chronic inducible urticaria syndrome. That was not the case with Barbara. And whether there are associated fever, arthralgias, recent exposure, unusual travel history. These are all clues that would lead to perhaps obtaining targeted laboratory testing. For the laboratory tests, we may obtain routine tests, which would provide what I would call reassurance value for the patient. But a number of studies, including a study we did at the Cleveland Clinic, have demonstrated that the laboratory tests do not have utility in terms of leading to improved outcomes. The recommendations concerning laboratory testing have been evolving such that it may be appropriate in many cases of chronic spontaneous urticaria to obtain no laboratory testing. Although we are not able to answer the question that most patients with chronic urticaria come to us with, which is, what's causing this? In the overwhelming majority of cases, we do not identify an underlying cause. I usually tell patients, and may have told you, Barbara, that, in life, we've learned that everything happens for a reason. And this is no exception. However, as hard as we look for that reason, in this case, we can't find it. So management entails realistic expectations and regular use of medications on a daily basis. The realistic expectation part is that unless the patient takes the medication regularly, they're going to have ongoing itching and hives and swelling.
Thank you for those points that you raise. I think they will go a long way to help our listeners arrive at a correct diagnosis for their patients. I have read that ibuprofen could be a possible trigger. Can you speak to that and other possible triggers?
So a number of exposures, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen, aspirin, opiate analgesics can be triggers for ongoing hives. And that was the case in this situation with Barbara, where she had been taking ibuprofen on an as-needed basis. And when we supplanted that with an alternative analgesic medication, her course improved. In addition, with women, sometimes menstrual cycle is a factor. Emotional factors may be relevant. Alcohol consumption, in some cases, may lower the threshold for an outbreak of urticaria. So people need to be mindful of these factors, which I would say are more in the category of modulating influences than an actual cause for the underlying condition.
That makes sense, and that's great information. Can we move into you talking to us about the specific treatment plan for Barbara?
The management for Barbara was, as she had ongoing hives despite use of antihistamine medications, was to provide her with a regimen of second-generation antihistamines, advanced as tolerated, combined with H2 antihistamine and anti-leukotriene therapy, although the latter two, there aren't high-quality data recommending them, but they may have an adjunctive role, and I did prescribe them in Barbara's case. Because of the frequent episodes of flares for which she required courses of oral corticosteroid and the impaired quality of life that she had. We had not yet achieved control of her condition, such that we talked about beginning a trial of anti-IgE therapy, and ultimately that's what was done. And over the course of a few months, that did lead to control of her chronic urticaria. The omalizumab was tolerated without remarkable untoward effect, and she's continued to tolerate that without untoward effect, and for quite some time, she has been Hy-Free.
Well, that's great news. And Barbara, can you talk to us about how the new medications made you feel, both in terms of relieving your hive symptoms as well as just overall day-to-day feelings?
Well, I think in the beginning, when I was told that I was going to have two shots a month in my arms, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a huge deal. I can't even imagine it. Now it's just like second nature because it's worked so well. I think the worst thing about the hives was how unexpected they were. It wasn't like, you know, I knew if I ate something, I was going to break out in hives. They would just come and go whenever, however. I felt very unsure about it. It throws you just off balance altogether. So when Dr. Lang said that we had this medicine that they could give me and that hopefully that it would get the hives under control, I wholeheartedly said, Dr. Lang, please give it a try. It worked really well. I am... going down to have the shots once a month is actually the office is like a big family. I mean, it's going down there, everybody knows you, and it's so it's actually a really great experience. And then they and now I am almost Hy-Free, and it's been such a blessing that you don't have to have a nagging feeling in the back of your mind. Is it going to happen today? Am I going to wake up and have hives? Am I, if you turn over at night and you feel something, is because it was like a, felt like bugs. And oh my gosh, I would run to the bathroom and, you know, check my arms, check my legs, see if I had them. It's given me such peace of mind. I think that's the best thing. Dr. Lang has given me such peace of mind.
Well, that's hugely important, and we're so glad that you have achieved that peace of mind. I imagine it's very unnerving, that uncertainty. Well, again, we are very glad that you are having that relief. Dr. Lang, can you talk to us about what the future of this therapy looks like for her? Will she continue every 4 weeks? Will there be changes in dosing? And if so, how do you make that decision?
So when we prescribe a biologic agent, and the number of indications has been expanding in recent years, there are conditions for which we prescribe these, such as asthma. That's a lifelong condition. So we typically maintain the biologic agent to perpetuate the control that has been achieved in individuals who respond favorably. And with a condition like chronic urticaria, in contrast to asthma, this isn't lifelong. So there is a point that we reach where we talk about stepping down in therapy on a trial basis. As the patient may have reached a point where the chronic urticaria has resolved, the patient has been Hy-Free for some time. We don't know whether that's related to an ongoing medication effect or whether that's the natural history of the condition and it is now no longer present and further administration of anti-IG therapy is no longer required. So this is a situation in which we engage in what has been called shared decision-making, where we explain the pros and cons to the patient, offer them the opportunity to express their values and preferences, and participate in the medical decision-making process. Barbara did indicate a desire to step down on a trial basis. And we could step down by reducing the dose of the drug and continue injections every 4 weeks. But when I began to think about this, it made more sense to me to widen out the interval between the injections, because that would be associated with an improvement in quality of life, because, you know, the patient doesn't have to get injections as often. So the regimen we have implemented in this circumstance entails transitioning to getting the injections every 6 weeks and then every 8 weeks. And if control is maintained, then we suspend the drug on a trial basis. I mean, there is a risk here. There's a risk that the chronic spontaneous urticaria may relapse. But, you know, there's no other way to proceed. There's no skin test or blood test we have that can confirm that we can taper the medication. And the only way to proceed is to engage in this trial of a step-down therapy.
Thanks for that information. Barbara, before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to add?
I think it's just really important to not take hives lightly, to go right away to your primary care doctor. And if they are not taking it very seriously, get a recommendation to go to a fabulous allergist like Dr. Lang and have somebody that will listen to you and hear what's going on, because it's, I really thought this was something that I was going to have to just continue to suffer with. And sometimes, and also antihistamines make you kind of goofy, a lot of the, you know, taking a lot of antihistamines. So this really helped in so many ways, but I think going to a specialist right away and getting somebody that understands this is the best thing to do for anybody that's got hives.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Dr. Lang for taking the time to speak with us, and a very special thank you to Ms. Bergston for sharing her experience with us. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. Hopefully, you're able to tune in to the other podcasts in this series. There are a total of 3. As well as some of the many other types of CME programs that Med Learning Group offers. In support of improving patient care, Med Learning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, ACCME, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, ACPE, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center, ANCC, to provide continuing education for the healthcare team. I'd like to give a special thank you to Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational opportunity. Have a great day.